It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more.
Since 1999, Rose Mania has been your one-stop source for all your rose care needs. From chemicals and safety equipment to garden tools and fertilizers, Rose Mania offers the top products at some of the best prices around. They even sell bare root roses. Rose Mania carries a full line of products to help battle fungal diseases, insects, and mice, while not harming the beneficial insects you want in your garden. Shipping is free on merchandise orders over $25. Their staff of consulting rosarians is available to answer your rose questions, so visit them today at rosemania.com.
Well, welcome to another broadcast of the Rose Chat Podcast. We're so glad you could join us. Now, whether you're listening live or on demand, we truly appreciate your support. I want to remind everybody of the various ways that you can connect with the folks here at Rose Chat, you know, through our Twitter stream just by following the Rose Chat hashtag. You follow along, you're going to find photos, people there who love roses and who grow roses and who can answer your questions. We'd love to chat with you on Twitter. We can also be found on Facebook, just Rose Chat Radio on a Facebook page. So hope you'll look us up. I think you'll be glad you did. Now, it's February, and folks all over are thinking about love. Now, people love to give roses, and I don't care who you are. If you receive a rose, roses spark something deep inside of you. It does something to you, your emotions. And tonight we're going to be talking about love and the emotion that brings. They're also going to be talking about, if you're going to give roses for Valentine's Day, the color that you give actually does make a difference. Isn't that right, Teresa?
That sure is, Chris. I'm living life in the frozen tundra right now, so I am more than excited to talk about roses, and it's a bonus to be able to talk about love and roses together, because it is that time to begin thinking about what to give that special someone in your life for Valentine's Day. And as many of you have guessed, roses are the number one gift for that special day. But did you know that the color of roses you give someone has a language all its own? They really do, and we'll be chatting about this as well as other ways to show someone you love them with our special guest tonight. Tony and Susie McGeehee are with us tonight, and they're in the virtual studio. And after a quick break, we'll get started. So stay with us. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com. It's time to order roses for spring delivery, and S&W Greenhouse has just what you need. From knockouts to hybrid teas, S&W has the best. From Weeks, Star Roses and Plants, and new this year, a beautiful collection of David Austin English roses that are sure to make your garden the envy of the neighborhood. Check them out online at sw-greenhouse.com.
Well, let's go ahead and welcome our guests tonight, Tony and Susie McGeehee from Love It Out Loud Photography. Tony and Susie have developed a very unique photography style that really captures the essence of their subjects. And Tony is soon to be a published author. We're so glad to have them with us tonight. Hey, guys, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. This is great.
We are so glad that you're here. Now, I want to encourage our listeners to call in tonight with questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you at 347-677-1870. Now, Tony and Susie, I want to ask you a question just real quick. What's your favorite color rose?
Oh, you know that answer. Orange.
Orange. You know, I love that. Orange roses are so beautiful. You know, they really reflect a sense of desire and enthusiasm. And So orange will definitely is a great rose to receive for Valentine's Day. I wanted too to talk a little bit about giving flowers and other gifts for Valentine's Day. I put the question out on Facebook today. Do you think about the color roses that you give someone for Valentine's Day or other occasions? And got a couple of interesting responses. Eric Siegel says, I always think about what color of roses that I'm going to give someone. And then also you have to consider what colors that are available. And he says that on Valentine's Day that roses should be red, purple, or lavender. And they also put some ribbons and background items that represent love as well. And someone else, Tim Riley, who is a frequent visitor to our Facebook page, says, my wife never met a rose she didn't like. So I think that they like just any color is good for them. We even had responses on our Twitter feed. A couple folks, the guy who tweets, a nitty-gritty dirt man says, only when I'm giving them to my mother do I give yellow roses. I thought that was pretty sweet. Said that she loved yellow.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, Tony, do you think about the color of roses you give before you give?
Well, what I was saying, like when Susie said orange is her favorite color. So usually if I ever get flowers, I mean, she loves daisies, but if I get a rose, I would always get orange because I know that's her favorite color. So usually the little baby orange, I mean, roses are the you know, cute. And that's what I need to learn how to plant because I mean, my backyard is a lot of shade, and so I know, you know, I've heard so many myths and things about roses, so I've never really tried roses. And so I think that would be, and that's what I want to learn some tonight, too.
Well, you've come to the right place, Tony. I think we can change that that fear of growing roses. Yeah. Do you have any area in your yard that gets 6 to 8 hours of sun a day?
I probably do right as you enter the backyard. I mean, it would be the best place for it. But I just, it's like I said, the trees, when we first moved here, it was just a blank yard, and then all the trees are like 60 feet now. And it's definitely, you know, very shady, which I like. But, I love that color, too, and roses and so forth. So I do have that one place, which I'm thinking about, you know, working some in.
Right. Well, we're going to have to do a road trip up there and scope out the spot for you.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
Well, you're definitely rose cheerleaders, so if we can't convince you, well, we're just not doing our job.
Oh, you will. He's already convinced me. I've seen his backyard, so I love it, and the pictures are beautiful.
Oh, it sure is. Guys, I read last year it was estimated that 224 million roses were grown for Valentine's Day.
Wow.
That's a lot of roses.
That sure is.
Too bad Valentine's Day isn't in June. You know, we could share roses from our gardens.
That's right.
Teresa, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other colors of roses. You know, there was a time in the world, especially during the Victorian era, where you couldn't just come right out and express your love for someone. You know, there was a very genteel etiquette that was followed, and people used flowers and roses to convey certain messages, didn't they?
Well, they sure did. You know, we can thank the Victorians for this language of flowers. I read that mothers were told they should teach their daughters religion and the art of a well-made bouquet. But they had full dictionaries to help them keep things straight. And, Chris, I think you remember this movie, Susie, you may too, The Age of Innocence. Do you remember that movie? We saw that with Newland and the Countess Ellen, sending an inappropriate message could be social death. So it was very important that they paid attention to their flower dictionaries.
That's very true. Do y'all think just our society today gives much thought to the flowers that they give folks?
Oh.
I'm
Go ahead.
I'm a former florist, and I was a florist for many years, and I can tell you that we did hundreds and hundreds of vases of roses, and most of them were red, probably because that's what men knew about, but we did get lots of people to come in, and they had a particular type of rose that they wanted because they wanted to convey a certain message. So it still permeates, you know, our society today. People do know about it and hear about it and want to be very specific in the things that they give. So, and I would say to those who are wanting something special that the time is now. It is running late. It's very hard for us to get things in at this late date. So if you have something particular that you want from a florist, get it ordered soon.
Wow. Tony, Susie, what do y'all think? You think people give much thought to the language of flowers?
No, I think they get what's over on sale at Kroger right before they go home.
I think we're a busy society, but I think what's important is that, you know, we have this talk and you know, that we do appreciate history and, you know, the meaning behind a lot of the flowers and so forth, because I don't know. And it's good to know that. And so, I mean, I think it's true. We live in such a fast pace. It's just like, oh, my gosh, it's Valentine's Day. I better get the flowers or I'm in trouble. or roses or whatever, you know. So it's just, I think it's a matter of, you know, just slowing down and learning about this.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, they're, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of the colors. Teresa, let's talk a little bit about pink. What does those meanings convey if you receive pink roses in the language of flowers?
Well, pink roses carry within the meaning of appreciation or thank you, also grace and perfect happiness. And pink is also thought to be the gentler side of red. So this might be a good choice if your relationship is in the strong like stage.
So that's sort of like a semi-promise?
It also is a rose that means gentleness or please believe me. So please believe me is another one to carry with you that, you know, you might be needing that sometime.
Right.
If a young man has gotten himself into trouble.
Yeah.
Pink might be the rose that he needs to be carrying in.
You know, our friend on Twitter talked about yellow roses for his mom. And, you know, yellow is probably, if I had to choose a favorite color rose, it's probably going to be yellow. And when I started reading what the meaning behind yellow roses were, I was it sort of fits. You know, it talks about yellow meaning gladness and joy and friendship. And those things really appeal to me. You know, I think that roses bring joy to the world, and when you can choose a color that really brings that out, and I think we've done something good here.
You know, roses, yellow roses can also mean welcome back. Remember the song, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree? You know, we still see around our families do that when they have a soldier away from home. So it can also mean welcome back. But I love associating yellow roses with joy and friendship because I think they just brighten up a day. They sure brighten my day. So I think it is a great rose to share with a friend.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Tony, do you know the song Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree?
Yes, I do, Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, there you go.
I remember that song.
I was hoping maybe you'd sing a little bit of it for us.
Yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. That's all I know.
Okay, well, you got it.
I love
so when
that.
Does he win, Chris? We have to give him a prize for that one.
Yes.
Well, we're going to send you a Rose Chat Radio mug. That's what we're singing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you can have that with coffee. Yeah.
Well, is the Yellow Rose of Texas, is that a song? Yellow Rose of Texas?
It is.
That's Willie Nelson, I think, isn't it?
No, I'm not sure it's Willie, but I actually have the Yellow Rose of Texas growing in my garden.
Oh.
It's a big old ramp.
What orange means? That's Susie's favorite. Does it have a meaning?
It
yes, it does. Orange is bright and bold and means desire and enthusiasm and passion.
Oh, I married that. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you're giving the good bouquet there.
Well, I can tell you that a good rose for y'all to grow in your garden that is an orange rose is called artistry. And, you know, both of you are kind of artists in your own right. So that would be a wonderful rose to have in your garden.
Artistry, that's a great one, Chris. I don't have that one, but I love it.
I've got two shrubs of it. It does wonderful in here in the South. So it could be well up around your neck of the woods, too, Susie.
Does it grow like a lot, or just like a few at a time, or is it just
You'll get probably 3 or 4 flushes of bloom a year out of that rose, and you'll get it'll just be covered in blooms when it
wow.
Chris, is it a floribunda?
No, it's actually a hybrid tea, but it blooms like a floribunda, more like a shrub rose does.
Must be like jasmine. Great.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Okay, that's what I want.
We're going to hook you up.
Yay.
Before we move on, I want to talk. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to tell Susie that I've noticed that orange is a very popular color with the 30 and 20-somethings that I know. So hey, you know, you're right on trend.
We have currently, Tony has a really nice garden, even though it's just needs the roses, but he has an orange dahlia plant that is beautiful every year. So that'll have to compete with the orange rose, and we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice companion for your orange roses.
Mm-hmm.
I love making arrangements with the flowers. They're so pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to touch on one other color before we move on, and that's lavender. A lot of people love are in pursuit of purple and lavender colored roses, and you know they also want blue, but you know that's kind of an impossibility in the flower world as far as roses are concerned. Teresa, tell us a little bit about lavender.
Well, lavender is just such a lovely rose. It was very popular in the florist business. One of the reasons it was so popular is most of the lavender roses that we got in were fragrant, and that was different in the florist world. It conveys the meaning of love at first sight and enchantment. So those have been, yeah.
Tony's favorite color is actually purple.
Yeah, I love purple. So, I mean, that's cool. We blend well together. We'll have to have a purple and an orange.
Yeah.
Well, the purple color is a traditional association with royalty, so, you know, there you go.
Awesome.
You know, you got your big, bold colors.
Hmm. That'll be great. We'll have to have a pictures in the roses in the garden this year. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
There's some pretty garden roses for you to grow that are lavender. Chris, do you grow Barbara Streisand?
I don't, but I hear good things about it.
And then there's another one, Love Song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of more of a ruffled bloom than the
mm-hmm.
like a hybrid fuchsia, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've
what
always said that it's...
Barbara Streisand song.
You're going to sing a Barbara Streisand song now?
Oh, here we go.
I don't think.
She would die. No.
You don't think.
But,
I'll try it.
For our listeners tonight, now Tony and Susie share their celebration of loving life out by combining Tony's writing talent with Susie's heart for contemporary photography. And together, those two things come together. And they have created Love It Out Photography. And, I think it sort of came out of a desire to help families in their life's journey. Tony or Susie, either one, I'd love to know what really prompted you to begin Love It Out Photography.
All right. I mean, the name came from just our motto in life. We'll be married 30 years this March, and it's always been our motto to love it out, so that's how we came up with the business name. Susie's always been a photographer, scrapbooks, everything. I mean, our history is documented everywhere around this house because of that, which is awesome. So, I mean, her desire to get involved in that, I'll let her talk more about that. And then for me, it's probably lately, since I became a teacher, you know, later in life, you know, in my 40s, you know, and I taught, and then I'm still working now with another nonprofit organization as a teacher with Deep Roots of Alabama. But with writing and so forth, the books, it's just really helped me. I mean, it's just something, again, after 50, that it's just I've always wanted to do. You know, I've never really thought about it. And so by having her do the photography and combining, you know, with my writing, she's really helped it come alive because she has the technology. She knows how to put it into the books and the Photoshop and all these things that I don't know, but I can write. So that's how it kind of came about.
That is just so cool. And, you know, guys, Tina and I have experienced firsthand, you know, how you help couples celebrate milestones in their lives. And I'd love to hear, you know, how you guys do that. I know our listeners would love to hear, too, how you all do that in photos.
We are all the time saying pictures are life. I mean, if you hear about a story or a person, the first thing you want to see is a picture. It just brings it closer. And it would just always, we've always just thought it was so important to capture visually things that are going on. I was that mom that was at the baptisms, and I was given double prints because I couldn't stand for people to not have, a picture from the things that went on in their life. And so anniversaries and special events, it's really just to get some candid and some emotion-filled pictures from those times.
Now, I know when you guys came down to Birmingham several weeks ago and took some pictures here, and it just really struck me that you all were really trying to capture things that you don't often see in photographs, like joy and happiness. You talk a lot about touch points and stuff. How important is that sort of thing and what you do?
Yes, we're definitely non-traditional. And those in-between moments, and I personally have such a harder time being in front of the camera, so I understand. And one advantage we have is that we both have a camera in hand. So one of us can be getting the attention, and in that moment when you relax, when you think the camera's not on you anymore, the other one can capture that. And so that's a real benefit, having two of us at the same time.
Having
seen the pictures that you captured of Tina and Chris, I actually cried. It was so beautiful. I know them, and yet just walking through the pictures and the stories and all that you put together, I mean, it just, the love that they have just jumped off the screen. And, you know, I didn't even see a physical picture, but just on the monitor. And what a gift you have of capturing those special moments, like you say.
Thank you.
Thanks. It is. I mean, it's one. I mean, we love doing that. I mean, we love when you cry.
Mm-hmm.
We have done our job because if you really want to capture who someone is, and I think that it's just a beautiful thing in life is that really the love we have for one another and just for relationships and just, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And so it means a lot when people have
the
that.
The tears are really a compliment. When we've had, we do viewings after we have a session and we show on a larger screen, the images that we've taken, and I can't tell you how many times, especially moms of high school seniors, will cry. Dads too, and it is such a compliment, and you feel like you're bringing out something in that person.
And I cry every time too. I'm like watching them. I mean, I don't, you just get so caught up in that emotion,
We are new grandparents, and before I knew that you were going to be on the show and the work that you do, my daughter and I were having a conversation about just thinking through, you know, having this new beautiful little life and just the need to partner with some photographers or a photographer studio just to help you capture these milestones that are getting ready to happen in our lives. And then you pop into our life doing this wonderful work. It was exactly the kind of thing we were thinking of, but, you know, didn't know it even existed.
Awesome.
There's a bunch of wonderful photographers out now. There really are. So it's good to find one that you connect with and let her record it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell a story. I mean, telling a story and then documenting those stories are so powerful, I mean, for the kids, you know, as they get older, and just for yourself, because so many times with technology we find, even today, I mean, it's great, but most people just file it away and they never even do anything with it. So it's not in a book. It's not even in a video. It's not anything. It's just stuck away on a
chip. And when you capture a moment of, like, the four-year-old laughing or making a silly smile, and you put, you know, a 20 by 30 on the wall, and she sees it every day, it's a self-esteem booster. It's like, you know, look how happy you are. Look how wonderful you are. We treasure you, and we have you up here, and we're embracing this every day. So it's a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this series that you guys have called Happily Ever After, and how you you capture moments from couples that have been married a long time, like me and Tina.
It was something that we thought about, because we thought, what is the secret? I mean, like, you know, and there's really, you know, there's so many different secrets. All of us have a different story and a different walk. So we thought it would be so cool. You know, we've got just a list of people to go through, you know, and we don't even know if we'll use the 20-plus. We thought we might use a variety
as
well.
Been married 20 years.
Right.
There's a few special exceptions on the list right now that haven't been married 20 years. For example, one couple that are married now, and both of their spouses previously passed away from cancer, and now they have each other. And we're looking forward to shooting that one.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll have a common set of questions that everybody will answer. And then you'll be able to look through the blog and compare. And we actually would like to take a few snippets from each one and put a book together at the end of the year with a couple from each month.
Wow. One of the other things, you know, Susie, when you were here, this really touched my heart. You talked a little bit about the hope is always on the horizon. And that was really inspiring to me. I've thought about that since. And I know that you do a series that's you know, called Beautiful You. Can you talk a little bit about that?
And that hope on the horizon got me too, Chris. I'm so glad it resonated with you. That was from our friend Patty. We've had some friends that we've photographed that have just had some challenging times, and they're beautiful yous. They come out and do things unexpected. And so we just have blogged some of those and put some of their stories out. Patty's the most recent one, and she's living with cancer. We've had two opportunities to photograph her in the last year. One was, last Christmas. She wanted a Griswold Christmas at Griswold. Is that right?
Lots of lights.
And so a bunch of friends got together and just put all these lights and everything on her house for Christmas. And then this year, right before Christmas, she turned 50. So it's neat to just bring up, you know, everybody is a beautiful you. And you just have to take the time to look, because they're all around us every day. And it's just neat to share those stories.
Mm-hmm. And her story too. We told it and did a video as well. And then a lot of her friends got together and wrote a little word of what Patty means to them. You know, so Patty, I mean, it was very emotional for all of them too, to kind of just see that embrace of friendship. You know, and she has really relied so much just on that beautiful, you know, foundation of friends at this time.
So special, so very special. Tony, you have a book coming out called Olivia's Hug. For you to write about a hug, it must have been a powerful hug. So can you tell us about that hug?
Yes. That was based on a true story. Back in 2013, I went into I was on Valentine's Day, and I went into a shop. Me and Susie, we went out for Valentine's Day to spend together, and we went into this shop, and out of nowhere, two hands just came out of nowhere toward me. I didn't know what was happening, and just surrounded me and embraced me with this incredible hug that, I mean, I was just thought was so precious that I got goosebumps. So anyway, that night, I went home and wrote this little, I mean, just really fast wrote this. You know, my goosebumps got goosebumps, you know, and then my fingers hugged each other, my toes hugged each other, and then the gross part was my nose hair reached around and hugged the other nose hair. And I had to put some bunny in there. But it was just a beautiful experience, this little girl, and she was 13 at the time. Anyway, about a couple of days later, I went back and I asked the mother, I said, you know, would you mind if I can write a story, you know, and kind of exaggerate it a little bit, but, you know, based on, you know, some truth to it. And she said, you know, that would be awesome. Olivia has Down syndrome, and it's just, she said, you would be, you know, that that does not define who she is. You know, the mother was saying, but you would be so surprised at how many people have been so touched by her life, her unconditional love.
Her hugs.
And so anyway, one thing led to another, and I just wrote that story, and it all came together, and I found we really couldn't take pictures of Goosebumps, so we got an illustrator that came, a good friend of mine, Michelle Demon, and she drew the Goosebumps, which you can see off the website, but it's just incredible. So anyway, the book came together. Channel 31, our local station, picked up the story, so they're going to do a story on Valentine's Day about the book and Olivia's life. So we're excited.
Oh, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing Olivia's story with us and for all those that are going to read the book.
Thank you.
I can't wait to get a copy of that book. But
me too.
I hope you hug it after you read it.
You'll want that.
We all need an extra hug or two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We do. And now we all know where to find a Goosebump illustrator if we need one.
That's right.
Yeah, you do. You never know.
The girl Goosebumps have little bows on them. They're so super cute.
Aww.
I love that. You know, Susie, I wanted to get you to share a little bit about I Love You Sideways, how you're helping families create their own custom story art.
Mm-hmm. That's our first one that we're releasing, but it's unique in that it's repeatable. It's a story, father and son relationship, When Do You Love Me More? And so we have a certain number of poses. You know, he's sitting beside him on his shoulders, just sideways. And so I can repeat that again for another family that might want to have a personal book there where they star in it. And we can even take the opportunity to design it further and do a mother and daughter, or we want to do a grandmother doing cookies. So we're looking for somebody that's interested in the but it's customizable, and that's what's so awesome about this whole idea of just making you the story, making you the star in the story.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. I just love this whole concept of capturing not so much the big, you know, not that weddings and graduations and that sort of stuff aren't important, but this look at just celebrating the everyday life. I think that is so important. We oftentimes only capture these milestone events, and when, you know, really the joy lies in the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you about to tell that in the back of every book, too, including Love You Sideways, there's two sections. One is teachable thought, and that is to promote a conversation. Say the father and son are reading this book together. There's questions in the back. When do you love me more? So that they'll do that. And it's kind of to have one-on-one, face-to-face time where you have conversations away from electronics and just to, you know, like when's your happiest day ever or what's something fun you want to do. And so there's that, and then there's the truth of the tale, which really tells, in the back of the book, it tells about the person that started that book or maybe where the idea of the book came from. So it's something kind of neat that I think will add to it.
Those are so cool, and you think that the generations to come will have that to look at and to treasure, and you know that's really one of the best gifts you can leave behind is those written words, those memories.
You know what I loved about it too. Susie told me a story because she took it to work to the engineers, so which I always kind of think are not very emotional, and she read it. Somebody read it and just cried. I thought, oh, I love it. I love it because that's what I want. Because, you know, when you get the book, it's just that, again, when you read it, it's just such a sweet, sweet story, you know, and it's just really the people that bring that out of it. And they did so well. I mean, these are you Smarties. You know, each little time they did a picture segment, she gave a little boy Smarties. But they did so incredible. And, again, it's just like if you can have this, if I were a following son, you know, and had stories like this of my own kids, I would love it. I mean, just cherish it forever.
Yeah. That is so, so cool. Now, Tony, you're involved in so much. I mean, you and I met back in the 90s on the trip to Russia. And you know, we've just had so many twists and turns in our lives, but we've always kept in touch. And, you know, you've become a teacher, about to be a published author. You were on the stage this last summer in a run of Smoke on the Mountain.
Right.
What's
next? Is that crazy after 50?
So what's coming up next for you?
Well, you know, I work as a part-time job. I'm working with Deep Roots of Alabama, and that is where we teach kids, we encourage kids healthy eating, you know, neighborhoods and one garden at a time. And we go into the schools and we teach the raised bed gardening, healthy eating. And really, sadly, our state is number one now with children obesity. I mean, it's as of 2013, and then it'll go through 2014, and they'll do another. But it used to be Mississippi number one. Now we're number one. And so we're trying to teach kids, you know, about local gardening and healthy eating and where food really comes from and just really caring about agriculture. So that's where I'm at right now. I just do that part-time. It's a nonprofit organization.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I don't think a lot of folks realize how important it is to teach sustainable gardening techniques to this generation.
Most kids think that the food comes from the supermarket. You know, well, that's where you get it from. Or they eat fast food, you know, so much. And I'm guilty of eating a lot of sugar. I love sugar, but I'm trying to eat in moderation, you know, and not every day. And so I think that's what we're trying to get the kids. It's not just going, you know, cold turkey, but just really think about what you're eating and just healthy eating habits.
Absolutely. You know, guys, we're just about to run out of time. I want to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Tony and Susie online by going to loveitoutphotography.com. You can also find them on Facebook, Love It Out Photography. And if you want to learn more about the efforts to teach school children about sustainable gardening efforts in Alabama, go to their website, Deep Roots Alabama, deeproots of alabama.org. I'm sure I've flipped through their site over the weekend, and there's just so much information there. And there's so many different ways that people can become involved in your community by helping out with this effort as well. Tony and Susie, thank you guys so much. This has just been a joy to talk to you.
Thank you, Teresa and Chris. It's been great.
You guys are awesome.
Best of luck with all your projects.
Thank you.
Well, friends, it's hard to believe we're at the end of another broadcast, but we'll be back next week with another awesome guest. So until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.